There are two types of cocktails in the world, my friends. There are the cocktails that are richly complex, blended beautifully, and combine a whole bunch of luxurious ingredients that you often don't even have on hand or even knew existed for that matter. But there's also the flip side of the coin, where you're dealing with the types of cocktails that are quick and easy to put together and taste just as delicious as they go down. Now, the cocktails that we have for you this week are of the second variety. These aren't necessarily the cocktails you deserve, but they're the cocktails that you need, and you're going to thank us for them. I'm sure a lot of you have been flipping through cocktail books and you come across these drinks that sound amazing. You're flipping through these books and the titles hop out at you right away. For me, a couple of those that I've seen this week are the Cuba Libre as well as the Gin Buck. At first, I was like, amazing titles, drew me in. Now, let's learn how to make these cocktails. As I started to read through, I realized that I've been making these drinks for quite some time. So, the Cuba Libre is pretty much a rum and coke with a splash of lime. The Gin Buck is a gin and ginger with a splash of lime. So, it's nothing overly complex, super easy to make. And the best part is you can throw in a bunch of different variations. You'll have some fun with it. So, in our description on the website of our cocktail breakdown, what we're going to do is we're going to throw in some of our favorite variations. And that way, you can have a little bit of fun with it and gives you a base to start experimenting on your own. The only downside to these cocktails is that they are easy to make and they go down even easier. So as always, drink better and drink responsibly.
Welcome to the Thirst World Problems Podcast, where we talk about drinks, current events, music, and more. Now, here's your host, Nick Dugal, and his panel of experts, B, Bell, and the infamous Doc.
This is Bell coming at you from behind the mic on Thirst World Problems. I am joined remotely by B, fourth in Long Master himself. And we might as well get started unless, B, you got something you want these people to know here?
Well, we were supposed to all record. Obviously, we have our set times to record. And either Nick went to sleep or he drank too much or something happened. So it's kind of funny because we're trying to ask him where he is. We've been waiting to record, and either he's sleeping or he ate too much. So it's kind of funny, and we're gonna record anyways, and you know, let's let Nick hear about this.
Well, hopefully there's no ransom letter coming our way, because if there is, you guys might just have to keep him. All right, we're going to hop right into the Thirst World Problem. And as you may or may not know, the Thirst World Problem is sent in by you, our listeners. And thank you for doing that. Thank you for supporting the show and giving us a chance to help you drink better and drink responsibly. So once your questions come in, it's a drink-related question, something that you guys want a little assistance with, so you come and see the experts here on Thirst World Problems. And this one is coming in from our dear friend Suk. Suk, thank you for sending this one in. Thanks for listening. And we'll just hop right in and get you on there right away. So this one says, I'm an early morning boozer or early boozer, I should say. What's a good pairing with milk? And don't say Bailey's. So he's looking for a drink that you can have fairly early. No Bailey's, but it's got to be something that either mixes with milk or a different cocktail that you can have before noon. So this guy is in dire straits. Before noon drink, this guy's asking for. There's only one that I could think of off the bat, man. So the mimosa, right? Like, I think that's the whole, like, the brunch tip is, you know,
how does that mix with milk though?
Well, it does. Well, that's the other thing. It doesn't mix with milk, but,
yeah. So you can't just say whatever
early morning,
you can't just say whatever you want, man. He wants it with milk, right?
Well, if he wants it with milk, I think the way that you have to go then is almost like a modified, eggnog, right? So like milk, get yourself some rum in there, some spice rum.
Oh,
nice,
yeah.
Two shots of spice rum. Maybe add a little vanilla extract in there. Obviously, you're going to have some nutmeg, some cinnamon. You know, make yourself something exactly what you would do if it was an eggnog and it was Christmas time and you're drinking that at night. But if you want to do it in the morning, I don't know, make it with some warm milk and add in the same ingredients, the same things that you would for an eggnog. So that is my best recommendation. I'm going to be interested to hear what you're going to toss this way then.
Man, I've never tried that, I'll be honest with you, but it's what I would do with that is I honestly, I'm sorry, but I can't be mixing liquor with milk. That's really weird to me, but I don't know, maybe I'm missing out on something. Like I love, Bell's made some eggnog drinks before and stuff in the past, and they're amazing. You know, and we love that Loka Nut.
Yes, we do.
So there's potential in it. I just don't see myself at home, you know, taking a, you know, my 4 liter 3% milk and just pouring it into like a cup and then putting liquor in there, right? That's just me. But I would probably just use the milk as a chase, honestly. Right? Like I could see it just taking away the taste of the liquor immediately if you're doing a shot or something. But just because in the morning time, you wake up and if you're drinking, I don't really want that drink just sitting there, because then you're looking at it and you're like, fuck, what's my life? What's happening in my life? Right. So I would just want to just take the shot and then, you know, take a shot of milk after that. And I'm assuming it's going to erase that. So it's just, if you don't drink too much though, because you know, milk and liquor, that doesn't seem like a good combination for the stomach. So if you puke or something, it's going to be bad. So let's put it
that way. Is not on us. Another interesting one. I'll give you one more in parting. I haven't tried this one myself, but I'm just looking at a few things here. What you could do is a nice cold brew vodka. You could add that to your glass of milk, and I would throw it into a squirt of like Nestle Quick or something, and then just have like a nice chocolate coffee, almost like a frozen coffee kind of thing early in the morning there. But speaking of
Nestle Quick, it's Nesquik, man.
Nesquik. Okay, well, yeah. I always call it Nestle. But
you just call it the whole brand, right?
That's it, man. Give it his own name.
Just fuck it. Just who cares what their actual name is, right? Let's start calling a fucking Radio Shack.
That's it. Just put on your own little special twist to it. But there you go. There's some morning cocktails you can try. There's some milk cocktails. I don't know why you want this milk, but there you go, Suk. enjoy that. And if anyone else has any good suggestions when it comes to an early morning milk cocktail, I mean, I think it's too early for a White Russian, but if that's what you got to do, that's what you got to do. That's what you got to do. Anyways, there you go. Always trying to help you drink better and drink responsibly. Enjoy.
White Russian. They didn't even put him to number 2, man. They fucking put him to number 3. That's fucking crazy.
Alex Smith might still have a chance, man. But isn't it crazy, like you said, like, oh, well, as white quarterbacks, they're going to get more and more chances. But isn't it crazy just how much you look around now, I guess, especially after this whole Black Lives Movement, how you look around now and all you see is race here, race there. You see them trying to be diverse. You see situations where it seems like it's forced. Like, there's so many commercials on TV now where, like, I don't know if it was, I never noticed them before, or there's a lot more on, but I kind of think there's a lot more on where now, like, every family is like a blended family where you see just different race parents and kids, and everything's just like, oh. And at grocery stores and stuff, now you're starting to see like all kinds of different people. You see blacks and Indians, and like before, you never saw any of that. It was just like the white mom picking up the Lunchables, like, and now you just see everything is so mixed.
I don't know about that though. I'm pretty sure we used to see that all the time. We just didn't really saying
it, didn't register it. You think so? I don't know, man. It seems so forced.
You're telling me it just fucking turned. I don't know.
I think it was, but just
the thing
so
is
forced.
Maybe it has to be, man. Maybe it has to be forced, or else that's the problem, right?
Well, I guess that's the other part of it. Is it beneficial? Like, yeah, are we saying like, okay, well, just because it's forced, like, yeah, maybe it is forced, like you're saying, and is that's a good thing, and you get to see it, or is it a natural way to do that representation? Have you seen the documentary, The Social Network, I think it's called?
No, I didn't see that yet. I'm going to watch it today, actually. Some people are telling me to watch it.
Yeah, it's interesting, and the concepts behind it are interesting, and it gets into a lot of, like, almost like game theory and a lot of like the psychology behind why social networks and social media is set up the way that it is. So that's super interesting and kind of neat to see. But my reason I brought it up is because the family on there is just, you've got like a white mom, a black dad. One of the kids looks like she's almost like Asian or something. And then one of the kids looks like they might be interracial between black and white. And then the other kid is just like a straight white kid. And it's like, okay, that's what I mean by like trying too hard in this situation here is like, what family looks like that one specifically? And it seems like that is just going the extra mile to be like, okay, we've kind of touched our bases on everyone here now and we're good.
Yeah, that's true. Like like that I could see is a forced, you know, that probably is a forced, you know, setup, but at the same time, I think for a lot of the time, like if you see that and it's a forced setup, I think the people that, you know, don't want that to happen or don't want people to be, and I honestly truly do believe that majority of people do want everything to be equal and, you know, don't want it to be weird if someone else is with this person or, you know, this color person or whatever. But I think when they do that on the TV screen, I think it forces people to be like, yeah, people might make jokes. Oh, this seems like, oh, you just did this just to do it or whatever, right? Why is it so forced? But at the same time, it kind of exposes the people who don't want that, right? And they just get mad about it. Like, oh, fuck, look what they're doing here and stuff. Like, well, no, man, you're actually getting left in the past, right? How about that? So I think it has like a two-part thing to it.
But I mean, that's my struggle with it. I mean, even if it seems like it's forced, whatever, you're right. Like, it kind of opens up people's eyes, and it's good for people that may not be as cynical as I am to look and be like, whoa, that family does look like ours. Because, of course, there can be families out there that look like that. But like, yeah, that does look like ours. Or, like, I feel like I'm being represented, and this is normal. This is normal for me, and now other people can see how normal it is. But I, like I said, I've just been on an uptick of like analyzing every commercial, and I don't know if that, like I said, if that's just my cynicism or if it seems like an all-time high. But there was like an Expedia commercial, and then like a State Farm commercial, like back to back, where they had like a mix of, and that was the first one I've seen before too, at least consciously, I guess, that wasn't like a Canadian branded show, where you had like there was a black lady and an Indian guy as a couple in one of them. And then there was an Asian lady and an old black guy together in another commercial, and then a white girl and black guy together in like the Expedia commercial that I'm thinking of here. And I was just like, so these commercials back to back, and then like that third one I think was a little bit later, but in the same period of watching the show, I'm like, that's crazy. I don't remember seeing that like back when I was watching like Friends or something, but yeah. I guess. You know, long time ago. So, yeah. But anyway, it was just interesting. And I'm like, yeah, that seems like they're just doing it now. But I'm also like, what's wrong with them just doing it? Because you're right. Like, things won't change unless they actually try it, right?
Especially with these big companies behind it and stuff, right? Like, I really think it irks people to see these big companies that they love and stuff doing this. And if they happen to be one of the people that don't want, you know, that portrayed on the screen, they get upset about it, right? It even delivers more, like it's harder for them because, oh, they made this movie that I love so much, or, you know, oh, these guys are my insurance company and they're showing this and stuff. And it's funny because it really shows that common sense wise, that's what what you think doesn't even, it's not even a 1% of what anyone wants, right? And they see that and they call my insurance company, State Farm's doing this and stuff. Well, yeah, they're doing it because it's common sense, man, right? This is not a political thing. Like, it's, and that's it. And people get upset about that, right? And that's what's funny to me.
Well, I think, yeah, I mean, I think the best thing for this, and like, once again, once I remove myself and get rid of some of my cynicism, which is hard to do for me, but once you get past that and you just start thinking about it, I'm like, you know, there's a bunch of like kids and teenagers that aren't processing this, that aren't analyzing this with the same amount of like cynicism and worlds come crashing down as you are. And this is going to be their normal. And the more and more people that see that, especially younger people that see that, that's going to be their normal, where it's not going to surprise them or shake them or even they ever even question like, yeah, what is wrong with an interracial relationship? Like it'll be so normal for them seeing that everywhere that they won't even question it as the years go by. So, I mean, that's a cool thing, and that's cool for people to feel represented, especially younger people, because they're going to be the ones making this drive and this push for any kind of real change. But like I said, it just seems like when the bigger and bigger the corporation is that starts to do this stuff, and you just start to wonder like, yo, like where were you before kind of thing. But I don't know, I guess the saying is better late than never, right?
No. And that's the thing too, right? I have no, you know, guarantee that State Farm putting that commercial out or any insurance company actually means that the people that work there think that. I don't think that's even close to being true. To me, it just, that they're doing it is a more of a positive. They're literally doing it for their own, you know, their own coin. It's not like they're doing something revolutionary. They're just doing it so people think, oh, this company's great. Everyone, we can all buy from them and stuff. Like, you know, but they at head office, they might not even think that at all, right? I wouldn't put that past any company. So it's not that these companies putting them out is great. The advertising agency doing it for them might just be like, hey, this is going to be the best way for you to go. And then they're like, okay, right? And fair that's enough. The problem, right? It's they're going to show you. And that's sometimes with people too. They'll put on a certain thing, but you don't know what they actually think inside, right? And that's how you get the 2016 election of Donald J. Trump. Put it that
way. Good point. Good point to close this segment out on. So once again, thirstworldproblems.ca on IG at thirstworldproblems. Text us, email us, leave us a voicemail on the website. However you want to get a hold of us, get a hold of us. Let us know. Are we being too cynical about this situation? Is there hope? Is it just coincidence? Have we just not been paying enough attention? And even if it is a forced situation, is that a good thing? Is it a bad thing? Let us know your thoughts. Hopefully we can get you on here and let other people hear what you have to say and respond to some of your feedback. So once again, thank you for listening to that segment, and we will talk to you soon. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, this is Thirst World Problems, and we're bringing you that friction. In this segment, we're going to be hitting you with those twisted questions, the ones that hurt feelings, start fights, and leave you wondering, what would you do if you were in that situation? So sit back, relax, and get ready to lose your shit. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's been a minute since we've done one of these, and we're going to add a little bit different twist on it this time around. So Friction is back, as you could tell by the music that was just playing, but we're also going to do a little bit of evolution to it, where we're going to try to figure out who is in the wrong in this situation here. So I'm going to break you guys out some scenarios.
Is it going to involve a murder?
Death and murder. I know you guys are a little bit gun shy from those ones, so we'll ease those back into the show a little bit later. We're gonna try to keep it as realistic as I possibly can. So there should be some zaniness to it, but you know, we'll keep it 100 here. So the scenario is pretty straightforward. You have a friend that is always constantly late. So we're talking about like showing up 45 minutes, an hour, 2 hours past the time that you guys decide. So tell them to meet you at a restaurant, and they show up an hour after that. You're going to a sporting game or whatever, and they show up at halftime as opposed to, you know, kickoff or tip off. So you and your group of friends get together, and you're basically deciding like, yo, whenever we have anything to do, we're going to just tell them that the time is starting an hour earlier. So make sure, you know, like that way, at least they'll have time to show up late. Then, like, you know, it's not going to be super crazy late. They'll still be there. What happens next is you invite this person out for dinner at a restaurant downtown. You tell them the time is, I don't know, like 8 o'clock. You tell them the time's 8 o'clock. You're really showing up there for 9. they show up at 8:30, and during that period of time here at 8:30, the place is actually held up. There's a robbery that happens during this time, and they realize that, oh, you guys are all late. You guys told me that I was supposed to be there for 8 o'clock. I got there at 8:30. No one else was there. 9 o'clock. So, like, you guys have just been lying to me this whole time. And they blame you for, like, you know, just basically lying to them and putting them in this dangerous situation. So, is it going to be your fault? Is it their fault? Where does the blame get placed in this type of scenario? Let's start off of Rise and Shine over here. Let's start it off of Rise and Shine. Nick, what do you got to say?
Yo, you remember when you remember when V-necks used to be so crazy at one point? It used to be just like a deep V-neck. Like,
I couldn't do it. I never did that, man. Never did that. Chest hair just popping out.
Honestly, I think, like, if there's a blame game, just say, well, if we ever showed up on time, we wouldn't be in this situation. We would both be in that same situation that you were just in. So it's a lesson learned, man. That person get killed.
Nope. They're fine.
Then just be like, this is a lesson learned. Show up on time. or get cut off.
Oh, heavy handed. There you go.
Well, just be like, well, we'll tell you the time. We're not going to wait for you. We don't care, man. Basically, the rule is if you're on a consistent basis and you're always showing up late, that's one that's just basically saying you have no care for time. And you're not looking at the other side. So what if someone's setting all this stuff up all day and all of a sudden you just show up for like the last, you know, half an hour and then you just leave and stuff, right? So it's like, okay, well, clearly you have no care. There's no, you didn't really put any thought into it. So what if the tables were turned, right? It's just a really stupid situation. If you show up half an hour late, all good. If you're showing up like an hour, two, you know,
there's no point in coming, man. That's just being, no point. That's just being rude.
Yeah, there's just no point. And I know everyone always says like, oh, you know, it's like Indian Standard Time or Trini Time and Caribbean Time and stuff. It's like, no, that's just an excuse just to like say you're going to be late no matter what.
Yeah, it's just an excuse for just being lazy, basically.
So, B, do you think the fact of the added danger and that all their friends have been lying to this person, does that influence them or put them in any position where they have a right to be angry?
No, I don't care, because the funny thing is they're basically saying if you guys were here the same time I was, we would have all gotten held up. So why aren't they happy about that they were actually the only ones there? Right? I think that's the big thing of it is why it already kind of shows that this person doesn't really care about their friends, right? Oh, you guys weren't here. You also didn't almost get killed. Well, isn't that a good thing though? Right? So that's kind of stupid, A. And B, the issue is this guy's been lying to his friends for fucking years, man. Right? What do you mean? What do you mean we're lying? This guy's been saying I'm going to show up at this time and shows up fucking hours late every time, and everyone's already like, you know how the dinner goes, right? Nice, have a couple drinks here, a couple shots, right? Appetizers are coming. You're already, all that stuff's already done, man. Once you get past a certain point and someone walks in, you're just like, fuck, this guy's late and shit again, right? And that's fine to come late. It's just, it seems like in your scenario, this person is just doing it every single time, right? So
well, just use the amount of frustration that person is for being early and dealing with that. Imagine how everyone has to feel of that throughout the entire year. Not even the entire year, probably entire like 5 years, man, more.
Well, plus that person's reputation's been taking just a ridiculous hit already. So it's just you know, person shows up late every single time, even if it's something important or time sensitive or whatever, and they still show up late. Well, who cares what you think about this now? Because you already degraded your character for the last fucking 30 years, right? So you don't have a vote or a voice, right? So that's the way I think of it. But amen. Again, there's way other ways to go about it too, but if they're mad about it, they're just being a baby about it to me.
Yeah, you're done, bud.
Fair enough, man. I've got a cousin that falls into this situation, and it's just the same thing. It's like, yeah, yo, Thanksgiving dinner, Christmas dinner, tell them 2 hours earlier, and either they're there or they keep doing their same late business, and then you miss out on dinner, kind of like you said. I wish we'd do more of that.
You just miss out on that dinner. That's tough, man.
Like you guys said, man, there's no, like, it happens once or twice, okay, you get that. If it happens consistently for however many years, like, hit the bricks, man. Just hit the bricks.
Like, the whole thing is, it seems like, oh, they're just going to wait for me by the time I show up anyway. So it's like, well, no.
Exactly.
You're not, that's not going to happen, man. You're just going to have whatever the dogs get, man.
That's it.
Just like, the fatty part, man.
Have some cold Domino's pizza in there, like, yeah. You can warm that up, give that a zap, and that's what you get.
Hey, man, I love cold pizza, man. Don't try to say cold pizza is bad.
Do you seriously? You don't warm it up? You just eat it like that?
Man, honestly, I
you too,
like,
right?
I probably like cold pizza. Like the next, like obviously, love hot pizza. Like I'm not stupid, right? But the next day, I most likely won't
just
even.
Just puts
warm
it in the fridge.
I'll just
right
eat
away.
It. Yeah. I'll just eat it. It just tastes. There's something about the taste. It just goes good with a nice cup of coke.
Everyone eats it. This guy just puts it in the freezer.
He orders it and tells him to deliver it to him last. Like, yeah, if you guys got other deliveries, go ahead. Just make sure.
Other deliveries is no problem.
Well, cold is good, man. It's really good, though.
Like, yeah, I'll do it out of, like, I was going to say desperation, but not desperation. But, like, man, when we've all been there. We're like, you forgot to put the pizza away or whatever it is. And the next day you wake up and they're just like, okay, yeah, I'll take a slice out of the box and have it then. But
oh, you mean like room temperature?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
I can't do that.
You can't. It has to be cold. Like the cheese has to be like congealed or whatever.
It's gotta be like fridge temperature, or it's gotta be hot. There's no in between.
Yeah. That makes sense.
All right. Thank you. There you go. you're saying thank you for your pointer. What's that? Yeah. Thank you and good night. Next question.
Next question.
All right. So here's the next question. I'm going to be interested to hear how you guys answer this one. So this friction question is a little bit different here. So this is the way that this one is set up. You have one of these. Once again, let's just call it like that deadbeat cousin. Okay. So
well,
it's
plenty of those. I've got tons of those.
Let me get you started.
I could probably name like seven of them, man.
You don't need to name any of them.
That's a crazy word, though. Eh? Deadbeat. It's right? Just like, what does that mean? Like, obviously, we know what it means, but it's just such a specific word. Like, you just feel like shit if someone calls you that.
That's the thing. You know exactly. Yeah, you know exactly what they mean. You can't get that mixed up with anything else, right?
It's a true piece of shit, man. Deadbeat over here.
Yeah.
You're just sitting there eating all nicely.
you're
sitting
like,
there all nicely. Look at this deadbeat over here. they're all just eyeing you. You're just eating that turkey so well, man. Just, look at this deadbeat, man. Never cooks anything. Never brings anything.
Exactly. Always shows up empty-handed. Was always the first at the table.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Holy fuck.
All right, so yeah, this deadbeat cousin of yours, like you've bailed them out on so many situations financially. You've held cigarettes for them. You always help them whenever they need help. Like, you know, you're always there for them. Now, they get into an argument with one of your significant other. Let's say they get in an argument with your significant other and just say
with
the
deadbeat cousins.
And say the meanest thing to that person, and like they're really rattled, and you just have the full clip just ready, like all the dark cigarettes, you've got it all ready, you see this transpiring. What is it that you do? How do you diffuse the situation, or how do you handle the situation? Escalate, diffuse, that's up to you, but how do you handle the situation, B?
Well, A, I'm going to be obviously on the significant other side, because that's crazy. Because at that certain time, the other person felt like they could just open up and just say the worst, right? So that's where I think of it from. So that means they were the ones who initiated it, right? So I think in terms of that, I wouldn't even The thing is, I'd probably take a shot. That's my thing, right? Like, I'm not just going to leave. Like, if I heard it and it was something bad that was said, I'm definitely going to. I could take the higher route and be like, "Well, I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to go home, right?" Like, whatever. No, man, I'm definitely going to probably take a shot. Obviously, not physically. Depends what it is, but
you just mean how big the other person is.
Yeah, verbally, like in terms of just like the dirty secret or whatever you're saying. You got to throw something out there, man, before you leave, right? So that's the way I think I would do.
And what about you, Nick?
I wouldn't go full extent. Why do you want to waste your energy on a deadbeat, man?
I thought you were going to troll hard, man. I thought you would unleash the full clip, man. I thought you and B would have reverse stances.
No, you just got to. I think the whole point is, I think that's what they want, right? They want that whole back and forth kind of deal. But if you just cut it off, then what are they going to do? They're not going to know what to do. Because there's no information.
And it kind of embarrasses them, right?
And they feel embarrassed about it, right? They feel stupid that they're literally going that route. Or they don't feel stupid. But, like, the fact that, like, you're not really going to that depth just shows that you can actually – you have better things to do. Like, that's the way I see it.
So does it change your answer if this is an ongoing situation throughout the night where it didn't happen one time, didn't happen two times, and this is the third or fourth time? Does that change your scenario, or would you be like what B said, where is just dip after the first time kind of thing?
Yeah, it would have been at least if it's a one time, like if it's the first time, there definitely would have been an altercation. Second time, if it continues, I wouldn't be there at all. I would never put myself in a situation where I would have to deal with that, right?
Fair enough. Now, if you are watching this situation and say you and B were in the same spot, or me, because I think I would have gone the opposite way too, and you see B or you see myself just unleashing like the full clip on Doc, just letting him have it. Knowing the scenario where, like, you know, he opened things up, would you then, who do you think would be to blame in that situation there?
It's not really a blame. It's obviously there's something that's brewing, right? It's not like, oh man, he like brought it up first. It's just more of, okay, well, it seems like getting it off the first time is not it's not happening. So, you know, it's bound to happen, but. You know, was that the main reason that you showed up, because you knew this was going to happen, or was it because you actually wanted to be there? That would be my question.
How crazy is that though? Like, if they were coming to just, that's the sole reason they were coming. That's really weird. Like to me, that's happens. Really weird.
But it happens, right?
Yeah.
Some people go to places just to get information. And some people go places just to let it out and don't really care what the consequences are.
Have either of you been in a spot where you just said or did something, maybe even offhandedly, not even realizing it, that then just escalated into a big thing where like you didn't even think what you said or did was going to be a big issue or a big deal, and it just kind of brewed until someone came at you and was kind of like, yo, I want you to know this or that, and how'd you deal with that situation?
Not really, man. Nothing that really comes to mind like that, I would say. No. That's a boring answer, but no.
Hey, no, that's fair. I wanted to hear it truthfully, so.
Yeah, I've been in a few, and I think it just gets to a point where, like, obviously, if you know what the intentions were, right, I'm not going to just sit there and just let it be, you know, you just gotta, I think that's where you start not unleashing, but like, you know, letting out a few things just to, you know, just to realize where you stand on stuff. So.
Fair enough, man. Fair enough. Like, yeah, like me personally, I guess, like not even thinking about it. And like, you know, like we always hang out and we all still hang out with a lot of the guys that we used to hang out with from back in the day. So it was a cabin party guy, and his new significant other was out, and we're just talking about back in the day and just talking about like some of the past relationships that people kind of had and this and that, and just mentioned one, which I guess was a bad name to bring up. And yeah, his significant other just went postal on me. Right. And it was like, why would you even mention her and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I was like, I don't even know, man. I was trying to make this taco and we were just shooting the shit. And then the next thing I know, like, I was getting this strip torn off me. And then, like, yeah, I like to say that I handled it in the best situation. And I was just like, yo, if you're not secure being around this guy, like, that's an issue between you and him. Like, you know, he has a pass, you have a pass. Like, I'm sure, like, yeah, this isn't the first time that you've been out for a weekend here. Like, come on, like, you telling me, like, well, anyways, like, yeah. So I went a little bit tooth and nail, back and forth kind of thing. And I don't know. I'd like to say that I regretted it, but it was like one of those things where I'll be pretty chill until you come at me. And then after that, like, yeah, we can both live with the consequences. And like, yeah,
I think if someone keeps on like just going at me, like, I feel like in the end, you know, your true potential, right? You know, you can just give them the knockout blow, man. So it's just like, you kind of try to balance the fight out throughout the few rounds, and then you realize, okay, man, like, this is end. It's like, and then you just end that KO, right? So it's tough, man. Like, it's a really, as I have a huge smile on my face, it's a really tough. I've been in numerous situations where it's tough, man. It's weird, man. Like, you don't realize who you deal with. It's just a crazy world.
Well, that's what tripped me out about it. I mean, like I said, it's not the only situation I've been in. I'm not going to pretend like that was the only one, but I just hate the idea. Yeah, I'm trying to let sleeping dogs lie. But I mean, it's one of those things where it's kind of like what you say. You're like, okay, yeah, you got your shots in at me. Okay, I'm ready to end this. And then they just keep going and they keep going. And you're like, I don't want to have to say what I'm going to say next. Like, just stop. Like, just please stop.
And they, is this something that happened yesterday?
And then they don't. So what are you supposed to do? All just right. Stop, and thank man. You for just listening stop. To our topic of past. Friction, man. Don't turn me into a killer.
Thanks for listening to the Thirst World Problems Podcast. For more exclusive content, follow us on Instagram @ThirstWorldPod. Make sure to subscribe, like, and share.